So if you don't have a book, I know it's kind of, but just listen. Just listen if you can. Or get with the neighbor next to you and look. You know, hey, that's good. Whatever you want to do. Amen. May 17th, and this is what it says, our adversary. That's the title. This is the scripture, 1 Peter 5:8-9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. And this is what the comment says. The devil is not the adversary of God. He is the adversary of the people of God. The one true living God is too mighty, too great, and too magnificent to have an adversary. You and I, on the other hand, are far too easily overwhelmed and overcome by Satan's advances and underhanded tactics. When facing our adversary, the first thing that we must understand is that he was defeated by Christ at Calvary. In Colossians 2:15 and again in Hebrews 2:14, the scriptures clearly outline his defeat. If we face Satan with the idea that we have to defeat him, we are sure to lose. Fighting him in the strength of the flesh is the path of sure defeat. We must face him armed with the knowledge that he has already been defeated. As we submit to this truth, we will experience grace from God to resist the lies, the wiles, and the efforts of our adversary. Do not make the mistake of taking him lightly, but neither should we place him in an exalted position by thinking he is greater or even equal to God's provision against him. As a result of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, Satan was, is, and always shall be a defeated foe. Amen. And honestly, I wish I had some extra ones to give to you. Amen. Amen. If you would, stretch forth your hands towards me as I try to present the word of God to you as the preacher and teacher. Thank you. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that your anointing and your presence would be upon my life, that the preacher and the teacher would come out this morning, Lord God, that your anointing would be upon my life, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our confession before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The greatness of our God. I know we kind of read in the book a little bit about the enemy, Satan, and how he is our enemy. And sometimes maybe we can focus too much on that. That he is our enemy and that's who we're fighting. But we need to realize this. How great is your God this morning? That there's nothing impossible that he can't do in your life that he wants to do. If we can keep that at the forefront of our lives, our eyes will be always focused upon him and him alone. And the enemy will be trying to get you, but he can't do it. This is what the enemy wants. He wants you, okay, you're looking towards God, but he wants to hit you on the side and he wants you to turn to him and take your eyes off of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me ask you a question. Now, no response, you know, but just a thought of thinking. When Peter was walking on the water, when did he start to sink? when what? He got his eyes off of the king and his eyes went on the water and the problems and what was going on. You see, we got to concentrate on the greatness of our God, how great he is, and what he can do in our hearts and in our lives. We're going to be looking at maybe a story here about the prophet Elijah. There was a supernatural power of God on this man's life, Elijah. Elijah had seen amazing things before him. For one thing, he saw ravens carrying food to him twice a day while he lived in hiding. You know, that's a miracle. I mean, what do they want to do? They want to eat it, or they want to give it to their babies? It's for nobody else. Can you imagine God chose ravens to feed him? And they would come twice a day bringing bread and meat and stuff to him. And he lived on that for a while. That's an amazing thing, people. That's the greatness of your God. Where there's no meat, no bread, and I'm talking about just maybe material things, if you want to put it that way. If there's nothing there, God can come through. As we keep our eyes upon him, he can come through. He saw two containers supply flour and oil, though out a long famine and never emptying. Wow. Flour and oil never dried up, even in the famine. He saw fire falling from the sky in response to his prayer. We know about that. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19. It would be page 615 if you're using the commentary Bible. The prophet Elijah had saw things happening with the children of Israel that wasn't good. And so he brought up a challenge. And he said, okay, you know, bring the water. Build two altars, one to Baal and one to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they built these two. And 450 prophets of Baal came. And they did all kinds of things for God to bring down fire upon that altar. And nothing happened. After days, hours, zero happened. And at one time, and that's the thing we're going to get, but at one time he even laughed at them. You know, like, how silly are you? Then it's his turn, and he gets up and he looks towards heaven and he calls upon the King of Kings. That's the greatness of your God. And he calls upon the king. It says fire came from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice, the water, everything, the wood was all taken up in an instant. And it says that they all looked to him, all the children of Israel that were there, and they're saying, God, Jehovah is our God. And Elijah says, these 450 prophets of Baal, that let's all bring them out to the mountainside. And they took care of them and they killed them all. It doesn't say that Elijah killed them. It says the people of Israel took care of matters into their own hand. And this is where I want to pick up in chapter 19, verse 2. Then it says, then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel got wind that 450 prophets of Baal had been killed. And she was mad at Elijah. And she said, I will get to you by this time tomorrow and you shall surely die. And for some reason, fear came in, people. Yes, it is. Look, We are human beings. We're not gods. We're human beings. We're affected by the things of the world. We're affected by what people do and say. It affects us on the inside. And he took off, running from her. But she said, I'm going to get him. And God shows up. Look at this. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 8. It says, and he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He took off. He went into the wilderness. Then God helped him, fed him. An angel went, fed him. It must have been great food because he went another 180 miles to Horeb. That's amazing, with just that food, walking. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elisha? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for my Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. We'll just stop there just for a minute. We're going to just pause here for these on these scriptures for a minute. Here fear gripped his heart and he took off. Look, if fear ever comes in your heart, don't take off. Because he took off, and you might say, and let me tell you, the question is raised, and God asks Elijah, what are you doing here? You know what that means? He's not in the will of God. What are you doing here, Elijah? That doesn't mean that God forsook him. And God was still with him. But he's asking him, what are you doing here? Why are you here? He was trying to remind him about what has happened in the past, how he supplied for him, what he has done under the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. You see, this is the situation, people. Look at it. You are a Christian, huh? Christian means what? Christ-like. We're following God. We're making decisions every day. Some decisions are small. Where are you going to go eat? You go to your favorite place. Okay, whatever. But then some decisions are bigger decisions. Huh? But you're following God, and if you make a slightly wrong decision, it makes you turn your feet. And you keep on that direction, and you find out years later a wrong decision has put you in the wrong place. And you wake up somewheres, and God may be asking us the same question. Joe, what are you doing here? Whatever it may be, what are you doing here? You see, we got to remember, God can supply anywheres. God can give wisdom anywheres. God can show up anywheres he wants to show up, mightily. But we got to make sure that we're continually seeking the face of God and asking him to move upon us to do what is right continuously. And look, when you fail, if you want to say it this way, get on your knees or whatever, and get it right with God and go on. Just go on. Don't wallow in the pity or in the pit, but get up and saying, Lord, forgive me. Help me to keep my eyes on going. And you keep on going along on that path because you don't want to turn any slight move. I want to go straight. Turn one. And all of a sudden, I'm in a different place. What are you doing here? He's asking him. Now, he knows what has happened. He knows fear has gripped the heart of Elisha, the prophet of God. He knows that he's running from a lady that wants to kill him. Just There it is. Okay. Let me know if it happens again. But God is faithful to do what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Look at this. Let's go on to the 11 and 12. And it says this. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, broken in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a far. But the Lord was not in the far. And after a far, a still, small voice. He told Elijah, get to the mouth of this cave. And you know what? They think from the scriptures that they think this might be the same place where Moses hid as the Lord passed by, the same place. God is good, people. God is good. Look, he wants to anoint us. He wants to show us things. He wants to reveal himself to us. Let him work on the inside of you. You might say, well, Pastor, I've made so many bad decisions, I don't know where I am. But this is the deal. Don't make another bad one. You repent, you go on, you ask God to forgive you, and you say, Lord, help me. Get back where God wants you to be. Get back on track. Read your Bible. Pray. Seek the face of God. Let God move. Listen to the voice of the Lord. And let God work in you and I like he wants to. Because he's looking for a people that will humble themselves before him. Look, he's looking for a people that will hear the voice of the Lord. And will do what he says to do. It says a great wind, strong and mighty wind came as he's standing there, basically on the cliff of that mountain, basically. A great mighty wind came, and it was so boisterous. It rent the mountains. It broke the rocks in pieces. I mean, that's a great God, isn't it? But he says something, he said, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. Now, he let it happen, and he orchestrated it to happen, but he wasn't in it. Ooh. We would think, my Lord, the wind of God blows my Lord. Also, an earthquake came, unleashing immense forces pent up in the earth's crust. It was horrible, but yet God tells him, Elisha, the Lord is not in the earthquake. Then a fire came through that swept through the region. Elijah likely felt the blast of its soaring hotness, boistering heat. And the Lord turns to him and says, I am not in the fire. But he said something this. He said, look at verse 12. And after the earthquake, a far, but the Lord was not in the far. And after a far, a still small voice. When the still small voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that's where God lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with the boisterousness, and we want to feel the presence of God. And we want it because we need it. We want all those things. But let me tell you, verse 13 did not happen till the still small voice of the Lord spoke to him. And it said this, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there was a voice unto him. Ooh. And said, what are you doing here, Elijah, again? That still small voice of the Holy Spirit, people. That's inside of us. That's wanting to speak to us. We just say, Lord, use me. Whatever you want to do. And let me tell you, the still small voice can be when you drive in your car, you just feel and sense the Spirit, and He speaks something. Something comes into your heart and life for direction, for help, for the anointing, for power, for the presence of Almighty God. You see, that's where the body of Christ is lacking, the Holy Spirit. As the preacher from China came to America said, the American church can function without God. Now, that's a long time ago. Things have changed because the anointing of God is not... And that, look, that could be said throughout the world, people, if you want to say it that way. He just happened to come because he was visiting churches. And he said, the American church can function without God. That means we could function without the Holy Ghost. But you see, we need the Holy Ghost far of God with that still small voice to be able to speak to the spirit of man and to give us the life that we need and the direction that we need from the Holy Ghost. We have to walk around as Christians of Almighty God saying, Lord, lead me. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know when it's God. Let me tell you this. Dive into that word. You'll get to know that word. Dive into the Holy Spirit. Pray, seek the face of God. And let me tell you, you will know. You will know when He speaks here by the Holy Ghost. That still small voice speaking to you saying, Joe, do this. Joe, go in this direction. Joe, listen to me in this. Spend a little bit more time with me. I need to show you some things. Or spend some more time because he needs to do some surgery. Look, we all need a lot of surgery in our hearts and lives, people. We need God. Don't be like, and I know I've shared this, but don't be like the church that split. It was a big place. So they put a piece of tape down the center aisle. One side was one church and one was the other church. One side, they had their church at whatever time. The other side had their church and they didn't cross over. And they had one band on this end and one band on this end and they did their stuff. Well, one of them on one side looked at the other one on the other side with an evil eye. And there was a fight that broke out. Now, can you imagine? And police had to come and settle this in church. Shouldn't be, huh? We don't want that to happen. It shouldn't happen anywheres. For sure not in church. But let that still small voice of the greatness of our God speak to you. You may not understand it. You may not even know why. But you follow the Holy Spirit. He is our God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that is here, that lives on the inside of us, that is leading us to the Father. And so we have to constantly let Him mold us and make us into what He desires and wants us to be. As the children of Almighty God, huh? We need the help of God. Look at this. Look at verse 13. And we'll read that one again to 15. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle. Now, that's the anointing. That's the mantle that he had. You see, he didn't wrap his face when the earthquake happened. He didn't wrap his face when the wind happened. None of those things, it affected him a little bit on the outside. But you know what affected him more? Was when that still small voice of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever been watching a program, a Christian program? I know that's kind of hard to find, that's anointed by the Lord. Or a church service, or been in church, you know, or listened to a song, or you're reading your Bible. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of Almighty God just comes. And you just want to sit there. And you want to consume it all because it's just flowing to your spirit. You're feeling the evidence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords upon your life. that still small voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to you, saying everything's going to be okay. All is well with my soul. All is well. We were listening to that song that came on radio this morning. All is well, well, some version of it, with my soul. My Lord, all is well with your soul. I know I taught you this and I told you this. Stafford wrote that song in the early or the late 1800s. As he lost all his wealth in fires in Chicago, as his family was on a ship to the other side of the world, it sunk and he lost his four daughters. Lost everything, people. Yet he still could go to his cabin room and write, "All is well with my soul." People, we have to be stern. We have to be bold in the Spirit of the Lord. And yes, who likes to go through the storm of life? We sang that storm, you know. We sang that song about the storms. Who likes to go through stuff? No one does. No one. But as we go through it, we find out who God is and who He is and what He can do for us, because He is the King of Kings. He placed that mantle around His face and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "Where are you, what are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets, and the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it." He didn't say that he was fearful, huh? He was talking about somebody else, the children of Israel. It's easy to talk about somebody else and their failures than our own, huh? Even a prophet, y'all, Elijah, did that. Verse 15, "And the Lord said unto him, Elijah, go return on your way." And he tells him some other things. You know what he told him? Go home. Go back to where you were. Go back. That's my will for you. Look, whatever happens in our lives can only happen if we are Christians serving God, if God lets it happen. You know what that tells me? My God is in charge. You know what that tells me also? Your God is in charge of your life. So we don't have to struggle with things. We can live our lives according to the will of the Father and let Him move and do and be what He wants to be in us. We just got to yield ourselves towards Him and let Him move and let Him do what He wants to do. Because great is your God. And we have to get in the perfect will of God for Him to use us and to move upon our lives the way we want Him to do it. If Elijah would have stayed where he was, the end of the story may not have been the same. Because he told him at least twice, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And God was still with him. That's amazing, because His mercy and grace is so great. He was still with him, even when he wasn't in the perfect place that he was supposed to be in. And you know, he returned back where he needed to go. God will take care of the foes. God will take care of your enemies. You just make sure that God is your God always. Great is He. I want you to turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. Listen to that gentle quiet, subtle way in which God communicates with individuals, that still, small voice. The voice is seen as a means of divine guidance, comfort, instruction, encouraging, listeners to pay close attention and discern God's will in their lives. Revelation chapter 4, and this will be the last scripture. I can see it in your eyes. It's like I'm starting to see some red pinchers. I don't know. You know, it's like I'm going. And I thought I saw a few evil eyes at me saying, look, my stomach's getting hungry. No, I'm messing with you. No, I didn't. Oh, man. Yeah, go break. Verse 1, it says, after this I looked, talking about John, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. It was the voice of the Lord Jesus, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be thereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. One sat on the throne, which is what God the Father. And he who sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the thrones proceeded lightning and thundering and voices, my Lord, my Lord. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Praise God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes before the and behind. 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Amen. How great is our God. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sat on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. The glory of our God, people. The 24 elders cast their crowns before him. The beast saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. There's no one like your God, people. Elijah saw a God that did miraculous things, my Lord. I probably can look to you and you probably could tell me many things that God has done for you. It may not be published in a book like the Bible, but to see the greatness of our God. Listen to that still small voice. Because the earthquakes will come, and the fire will rage, and the wind will blow. And those are great things. It is. But the Lord wasn't in it. He was in that still small voice. Let the Spirit of God move upon your life like never before. Amen.